Good morning, everybody. How you doing today? It is a beautiful day, at least through the windows anyway. It might be a little chilly out there, but it's okay. Thank you for all coming today. Appreciate that. We're going to start today with page 32, and let's stand, please. Page 32.
Thank you.
Father, thank you for another day, Lord. Beautiful day that it is. Just another one of your masterpieces, Lord. Thank you that we can still live here, Lord, and enjoy it. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to come to your house today, Lord, to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for those that showed up. Thank you for the good week, Lord. Just getting us through it. The daily provision, the safety, Lord. Lord, you're always there. Help us, Lord, to never forget it and always remember to give you thanks for what we have. Thank you for our nation, Lord. Many, many problems our nation has, Lord. I pray that our leaders might turn, Lord, that they might see the need to seek your face, Lord. Thank you, my pastor, Lord, that he's here today. Lord, guide him, direct him. Make him the strongest man in the room today, Lord. As he delivers your message, Lord, that you laid in his heart, I pray that, Lord, that message might speak to folks today, Lord. Let us know what's going on, Lord, that we'd be right with you. And, Lord, if someone needs you in some way, Lord, that you'd get onto that person, they might get right, Lord, before they leave today. Be with us, Lord, as we sing a little bit more and we hear some preaching later. I just pray for a great day, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. See, Autumn's coming up now. Here she is. Okay. In your bulletin, we got music here. Just a little short song, not real long.
Thank you.
see where I'm at here. Here we go. Announcements for the week. Tonight's our evening service, 6 o'clock, going to back to classic foundational scripture passages. It ain't boring, folks. Some good stuff here. Personal evangelism on the 19th, Wilton Bible Study 21st. We have Resurrection Day, March 31st. He arose. Children's church for ages 4 up to 12. We have church work day scheduled for the 13th at 8 o'clock in the morning. Pastor Soft of the Week, have you evaluated your spiritual fruit lately, both quantity and quality? Guys, you come forward. We'll take up more and often. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for the beautiful day, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for being with us all week long, Lord, while we've been away. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Today, Lord, we're going to take up an offering. I just ask you to be the gift and the giver as we do so. Help us, Lord, to remember that we can never outgive you, Lord, but that we can give a small portion back to you here today. Be with our pastor who's about to speak. Guide and direct, please, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We got a bunch of girls going to come up and sing.
Yeah. You know, we're under the protection of the Savior, the shelter of His wings. We can have that blessed assurance that no matter what we face here on this side of eternity, God is still in control of it, and He has given His promises to us, and He'll never renege on those. Yes. I'm thinking this morning, Romans 8:28. Should we try to quote it together? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. That's my desire today, to let you know that God loves you and you can have that assurance with Him today and be at peace with whatever may befall us in our days here on this earth. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. And by the way, I'm not down about anything today. I hope you're not either. You know, there are things in life that legitimately may cause us to be, and yes, children may go down, children's church, to be disappointed or depressed. But you know, in Jesus Christ, He gives us every reason to be hopeful of the things that are yet to come before us. So that's the message I want to get across this morning. Yes, I'm going to go up here and speak in just a couple of minutes. But you also notice in your bulletins today that we had an annual business meeting here at Fruitland Baptist Church. For those of you that are visiting with us, I want to welcome you today, and I'm really glad for everyone that comes through the doors. But I want to let you know as well, if you may be visiting, this church is not run by me. It's not run by a group of men in late-night meetings in smoke-filled rooms. I'm serious, Kelsey. I wouldn't tell you a lie up here this morning. It's a congregationally governed church. Therefore, every member of this church has a part in what takes place here. Amen. But the reason I'm talking about that this morning is that we have elected, again, hopefully in God's providential care, some new people to fill offices this year in some cases. And that is what you have in there. I hope it's a privilege for them to be responsible. If you're a new electee to an office here, stand this morning so people can see you. Let's give them... Congratulations. We're glad for what God has laid out in front of us. And so with that said, I'm going to open in prayer again for the new folks that have come on board, but also for our time in the Word. And we will just take a few seconds here before I begin to pray again to steer our hearts toward the Lord and what He has for us in His message this morning. But welcome to one and all. I'm glad you're here. Oh, our loving Father in heaven, we give You thanks today, Lord, for Your goodness manifested toward man through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came, took our penalty in our place, paid the price of sin, and rose again to defeat death and sin's power forever. We thank You that that blood can be applied to whosoever will receive it, Lord, by faith, by trusting in what Your Son Jesus did for us on Calvary's cross. And we thank You, Lord, today that it's free to everyone. You don't discriminate against any person. You have no bias against people, but You say, whosoever will may come to You. So we thank You for that. You're a great God. And this is in part today a worship service. And so, Lord, we have every reason and no reasons not to say that you are worthy and worth our worship. You're worth more than we could ever give you, Lord. Now, Lord, as we consider these new folks that are serving here at Fruitland, your position is that of a servant, Lord, when you came for our sakes, so we need to be your servants as well. And some of these opportunities now in an official way, but also in whatever place you've placed us in the body of Christ, whether it's an elected position or the privilege of just serving in your body, Lord, may you use us in the year to come, in the days to come. And Lord, may you bless those endeavors. Again, we thank you today, Lord, for this day you've given us. Now, Lord, as always, we consider those that are not with us. We know there could be all kinds of things, Lord, that are going on today. Some of them, Lord, may be things that are reasons that they just cannot be here. But other times there could be people that are sick or discouraged. Lord, maybe they're grieving the loss of a loved one or difficulties they have in their home. And Lord, as always, we think of our community around us. Lord, may we be a lighthouse. May we be a place that people can come for refuge in this area, Lord, to walk in a personal way with you. We thank you now, Lord, for the preaching of the word here in just a moment. And of course, Lord, when I'm involved in anything, there's trouble. And I'm weak. And I'm not what I could be or should be, Lord. And I do ask you to cleanse me today, Lord. Forgive me for my sins. I ask, Lord, that you would help me. But, Lord, that your word might have an effect on the hearer today through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, thank you for that hymn that the ladies sang there, Blessed Assurance. Lord, today we trust you for all things. May this time that we have together today be a day that pleases you, Lord, and gives you praise, just as that song said. I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. By the way, I found one of these on the floor this morning. These are some of my favorites. I would like to have it, but I probably can't have that. But someone lost a Kojak sucker. Yep. Yeah. Anyway, let me get things opened up here, and we'll be on our way. But what have we been talking about here lately? I think today will be the last day on this because we do have Resurrection Sunday coming. We have what's known as Palm Sunday next week, and so we do want to look at some of those historical events and what all took place in them. But you know what we've been talking about. We've been talking about the Ten Commandments. The basis for God manifesting His holiness to us and exposing to us that we are not holy. But He is holy, and the story doesn't end there. That great gulf that is affixed between man and God, unholy versus holy, has been what? Spanned by Jesus Christ, God's love gift to man. And so, you know, we take for granted a lot of times here in Muscatine, we drive down River Drive. By the way, I usually don't look at the bridge, I look at the railroad tracks, because many of you know I'm a rail fan and have railroading in my blood, and the CP needs to get some work done on some areas there. They got some mud holes. Okay, I'd be a little nervous up at the hotel. But we won't talk about that any further. But you notice the bridge, we take it for granted. But you know, the Mississippi River is a great gulf that is hard to span if there were not a bridge, right? Some of you may remember back in the olden days when a lot of tomatoes were raised here in Muscatine. Where's the preacher at? He's gone. Oh, yeah. Some of you folks have a history with Heinz's. We used to raise tomatoes for Heinz's. But when a truck fell through the bridge, and that happened a couple times, the old high bridge, and there wasn't any way to get things across, you remember how they got the tomatoes from Illinois over to Iowa? Marlon, you remember that? It was a ferry. Yeah. They had to ferry the trucks across the river. A bridge is very important, and let me just say this. That's what Jesus did. He is the bridge between the law, where he fulfilled the law for us in our place, and being able to have true fellowship with God the Father. Hallelujah. Amen for that, folks. Amen. It's such a wonderful thing, what Jesus did for us. That's the spirit we ought to have here today. Anyway, for those of you regulars on Sunday night, we've gone through a course called Way of the Master. Kirk Cameron, some of you that are often watchers of films and things, he has some history there, and a guy named Ray Comfort, who's a pastor. And we worked through a series of weeks in how to witness to people, how to fulfill the Great Commission. And one of the best, and I believe that's true because Jesus did this as well. He pointed out to people that were not right. We have to admit that this morning, folks. We're not right. I'm not right. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't work our way to heaven. No way could we ever be righteous enough to be placed in holy heaven by our own doing. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. See, it isn't what we do, it's what He did. And it's all about Him. And that's the message we want to convey. But the thought with this is, when you talk to people, people in general today think, I'm pretty good. In fact, if you interview or talk to many people, they'll always say, you know, I'm really a good person. But you know what? The Bible, the law, exposes to us the reality of what we are. We are sinners. We are not good. Jesus is the only one that's good. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. So the whole point in preaching this is to show us, and God showed us not only in the, what, remember? The vertical, but the horizontal, where we don't match up. But thanks be to God that Jesus fulfilled that law in our place. His righteousness is imputed to us when we believe and place our faith in Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for today. But we're going to try to finish off the last of the horizontals, which affect how we treat each other. And let me just say this, God knows, and He's concerned how we treat one another too. And He gave us the basis of how that is done. So today, we're going to begin with the second of those commandments, of those six, of the horizontal commandments. The first one was honor your father and mother. We looked at that last week. But today, we're going to go to the second of those six commandments, which says in the scriptures, found in Exodus 20:13, if you have your scriptures with you today. It's a very simple verse, but a very complicated thing for humanity to obey. Read it with me, class. Thou shalt not kill. And what that really means is thou shalt not murder. There's a difference between killing. Sometimes it's accidental, and you can explore the law yourself on that. There still is a differentiation between that. But what the Lord is trying to get across to His people Israel about His holiness is that He does not endorse premeditated killing, which we know is murder. Because we know that murder stems from what in our hearts? Hatred. My friends, today, if you have hatred in your heart or if I have hatred in my heart, check it now. Because we don't know the depths that it could send us to. But the ultimate thing there is killing, is murder. And that's what lies within the heart of man. Understand this. There's verses like Jeremiah 17:9 that say, for the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Did you hear that first part of the verse? We don't know to the depths that we can sink to. Not everyone is as bad as they could be, but none of us are as good as we should be. But how's that verse end? Who can know it? These thoughts and things that cross through us are dangerous, folks. And the Lord addressed these things in the New Testament and ratcheted all these things up. He said, just essentially what I've said, it's just one thing not to murder someone, but if you have hatred in your heart, in a sense, you've committed murder already because it could lead to that. Anyway, thou shalt not kill. God's standard, folks, we need to know this, and what He manifested in these Ten Commandments is that He is always in favor of life. God is always in favor of life preservation with just a couple of exceptions. Did we get that today? He always favors life. By the way, there's two things that God allows there to be the taking of life for. One of those things is when, again, we have violated another person and taken their life, and God has instituted human government to take the life of that person because of the recklessness that they accomplished when they murdered someone. That's totally allowable in God's word. By the way, it's not only a punishment, but it's a deterrence, folks, that says if we take life that God once preserved, our life may have to be forfeited for that. Do we understand that today? And then there are certain things also that God says we are able to defend ourselves. And you can read through his whole law, but obviously the Bible, I'll cut it to the chase, the Bible says that we are able to use equal force in opposing someone who attacks us. Okay? That is legitimate. But Bible-believing Christians, we should never be the ones that are in an offensive posture in these kind of things. We must be in a defensive posture where someone else has instituted that against us. And God, again, wants us to preserve our life, if we're able, in a defensive mode. As I see it in Scripture, with very few exceptions, those are the two things that God endorses. God values life. All life, my friends, bears God's image. He only gives the authority to take it. By the way, life came from God, from his very breath. God breathed into Adam's nostrils, and he became what? A living soul, the Bible says. And so God is the only one that has the right, again, to take it. Now, we'll focus on man's unholiness here in just a minute. But I go back this morning, and by the way, some of you may be concerned about Kim. Kim is not ill. She left me. But I trust she'll be back. She's on one of those things that she and our daughters do once a year. They spend a day together. And I think it's good. But they've banned me from doing it. This is a day, though, we could pick on Kim a little bit, couldn't we? Because she's not here to defend herself. And maybe you'd like to hear a funny story about some of the things, because most of our life has been a funny story. Marlon and I, well, I'll tell you a quick one. Marlon and I were joking yesterday as we worked on some plumbing out at Moscow about the time when I backed the grain truck out of the shed and we were moving things. And I always get Kim involved in that. By the way, Kim is a very soft lady. She was not designed by God to be in some of the things that I put her in. But I failed to roll the windows down in the truck, and I was backing out. Marlon tells the story better because I didn't hear it. But I backed into a wagon. Marlon, what was Kim doing during that time? Screaming at me. So we have a lot of fun, but actually, I felt really sad here about 3 weeks ago. It was another machinery move. That was moving things around in the shed. And it was dark, and it was my son's fault because they decided too late in the day to move things. And Kim was out there with a flashlight trying to help me. And she fell over a pile of new 2x4s that were 10 or 12 feet away from the truck. And I said, "Dear," well, here's how it really came down. I yelled out the door. I said, "Where are you at?" I couldn't hear her, so I shut the truck off. Same truck again. There was Kim on the ground. She tripped over a stack of 2x4s that Marlon put there. I was quick to say, "Yep, Marlon put those there." Kim's pretty fragile anymore. She hurt her knee again, and I got to quit doing that. So anyway, but I love her dearly, and I miss her when she's not here. Yeah, anyway. So we could have ad infinitum stories, but I just had to tell you that, and there's many more if you want to hear them, but we don't have time. Thou shalt not kill. Early on, when we had children, Bethany was about 3 years old. Mark, no, it was about four, maybe three and a half or four. Mark was just learning to talk. And some of you old-timers have heard this story, but this tells the heart of man. And they had a little scuffle there in the living room one time. But Kay, do you remember what he said to her? Sweet little Mark said, "I'm going to kill you, Beth." He couldn't say Beth because his teeth, you know, but yeah. And so I put the thumb down on that. I said, "We're not going to have that here. No killing." But, you know, it lies in the heart of man. Has anyone ever crossed you up, crossed your threads up, and you had that thought go through your head? I'd like to. It's true, isn't it? It's true. This is how man looks at God's holiness about that. You know, the love for God and his commandments and his holiness leave the heart of man in certain situations in life, right? Yep. Hatred takes over. You go back into Genesis 4. I said we'd try to get through these today. You can go if you want, but I'm not going to. But tell me what happened. It's the first what in the Bible? Where'd Cain go? Oh, there he is. Cain killed his brother. I'm glad you said that, not me, Kay. Have you ever thought about killing your brother? When there's been some people have, and it does happen, but that is the first recorded murder in the Bible. And do you remember why that happened? It was jealousy over God. Because Abel brought a sacrifice that was worthy of God's praise. Cain did what he wanted to do, and God did not recognize his sacrifice, and therefore he killed his brother. This is where it goes back to, folks, and it still goes on today. The main thing we need to remember, though, is this, is that man has the potential to do horrible things. And as I said earlier, the whole point of these messages is we need help with our unholiness, and Jesus came for us. Jesus can remove that attitude from our hearts. And never forget this, love supersedes all things. By the way, and if I don't get done, we'll get done when we do. But love always supersedes hate. And Bible-believing Christians, we don't operate with hate. We operate in love. Because that's how Jesus operates, my friends. But we know very well that God's holiness says he is in favor of life. All right, enough said about that. By the way, you know what we said about all these as well. Keeping God's law is never what? Never a bad thing. And so, I say it very plainly. Why should we have the Ten Commandments and the outflow of those? Because it's a reminder of our conscience where God implanted the law that we are never going to be doing a good thing when we murder or kill. Enough said? All right. The third of the horizontal commandments. Let's read it together. Exodus 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Adultery. Well, understand when we think about the holiness of God, he is faithful. You know, there's not a one of us in this room that is faithful. Some of us are more faithful than others, but none of us are faithful. God is the only one who is faithful, correct? You know, we talked about that last time. If we all go into our records, you'll find that we haven't done it right, no matter what category we come under. But God's faithfulness is part of his holiness. And by the way, it's rock solid. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, God will never leave you nor forsake you. That word never means never. Thank you, Woodrow. And that's the way God is. He's faithful in all things. Now again, what's being talked about here, and the Bible talks about two types of adultery in Scripture. One that is talked about is found in the book of James, for one place, and it's spiritual adultery. And let's face it, folks, we've all committed spiritual adultery as well. We have not put God first. We looked at all that in the vertical relationships. We've cheated on God. By the way, let me tell you this today. If you're a born-again Christian here this morning, you are in a marriage with Jesus Christ. Whether you're male or female here today, you are the bride of Christ if you're a believer. And he is the groom. And the picture of that in a Middle Eastern wedding is that we are betrothed to Jesus Christ. We should not commit spiritual adultery on the Lord, okay? But in this case, it's physical adultery. And one of the reasons is, as I just illustrated, our union with Christ is pictured as a marriage, okay? And it'll be consummated in heaven, but today we're betrothed, we're pledged to Jesus Christ, and he's pledged to us. But marriage pictures a covenant. And let me just say this, folks. Man, in general, is a covenant breaker. Why do you think we have many people that go to law school? Well, for one thing, there's good money to be made with people that don't keep their word. You agree on that? Yeah. But marriage is a picture of Christ and his church, and it's a covenant between one man and one woman for life. And again, we have troubles in our time, like there's always been troubles. And why is that? It's because of man's unholiness. And folks, the real truth about this is that when adultery occurs in a marriage relationship, it boils down to a lack of love for our partner. That's what it comes down to. We don't love them enough, but God's love for us shows that He is faithful. By the way, adultery is what? Adultery is having a relationship while you're in a marriage relationship with someone else, whether it's man or woman. And I'll tell you what, folks, it doesn't necessarily have to be a sexual thing. It can be going too far, even with what? Just a relationship that's out of line. We want to be very careful because it's a fine line of demarcation that steps us over the line into something that's going to be even worse. So, men and women, be careful. Be careful with that. By the way, we live in a day with our devices and the communications that we have in front of us. It's a very dangerous world. Guard your heart. If you'd let me, I'd throw my phone away. No, I'm serious. Not my landline, but the... Yeah. But I know we have to live in that world, but Lord, help us. But here's the thing, folks. This stuff all comes from the deception of Satan. Satan is what gets into the heart of man and prompts us, tempts us to go against what God would want us to do. God's faithfulness. You see, know this, that adultery always yields destruction. Think about the damage that's done when this type of a thing occurs. And there is damage, folks. And I want to tell you something. We know in our culture, but it's always been this way, but so much today, there are people with hurt hearts and hurt lives that are innocent victims of this very thing. But let me tell you this, folks. Satan wants destruction and hurt. And this possibility exists in the heart of all people. And it's promoted by pride and selfishness rather than selflessness. Never forget that. Selfish. It's this idea that we've had purported for a long time that is anti-biblical, that says you're number one. It's what you want. No, my friends, He's number one. It's what He wants, see, in us. I believe this, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but never does God's will for there to be no adultery, and when it happens, there is never a good ending, both in the Bible and in life. By the way, in the Inquisitor's class, if we don't have something laid on the table, we're going to be looking at the life of this guy in the Bible named Jacob. Oh my. It's an adults only. No, it's but the point is we need to be looking at this, folks. What a terrible thing. But all I can say is this on the positive note, God works in spite of these things at times. His grace overcomes these broken relationships. How we handle one another is important to God. Commandment number, well, the fourth one, correct? Of the bottom six. Exodus 20:15, let's read it together. Thou shalt not borrow. No, steal. Thou shalt not steal. By the way, the holiness of God is grounded in this fact that He never steals. He is always a giver. Yep. God is always a giver. And of course, you know what the Bible says as well. It says, it is more blessed to receive than to give. No, it doesn't say that. It is more blessed to give than to receive. By the way, man has a hard time with things, but you know, work, one of the four-letter words. Work is a dirty word to a lot of people. But work came before the fall. You agree with that, Woodrow? It did. Work is good for you. I just forewarn you about this. If you come to me and you're struggling with issues and depression and things like that, one of the first things I'm going to suggest Well, number one is to get a good medical workup. But number two, get to and get to. When you get yourself occupied with productive things, the rest of the things become smaller. It's very key. Because God wants us to work to be able to give. After the fall of man, he says what? Work's going to become hard, but we still need to somehow be givers. I've never found out how you can be a giver if you don't earn something to give or acquire something to give. So for most of us, it's what? It's going to be work. And he goes along and he tells Adam and Eve, now it's different after the fall. You're going to sweat to see your existence maintained. But Paul also ratchets that up further in the New Testament. And he says it very plainly. If you don't work, you should not eat. Work is a four-letter word. And it's ordained of God. You know, let me just say this, and I'm sensitive about these things, but welfare should not rule, again, in the lives of Christians. Because we need to be net givers. Obviously, if people cannot help themselves and so forth, but God wants us to be a giver, like he's a giver. But now let's look at man's, and by the way, situation ethics today, when you talk about stealing. You know what? If you're starving and there's a grocery store that you can break through the doors in and get bread, is that the right thing to do? And the answer is
no.
Because God gives promises. He says, I'll supply all your needs through my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's for believers. Amen. By the way, could it happen that a person would starve? I believe it could, but I believe this, God will supply that. We don't have to go to what? Those kind of means to acquire what we need. I'll go on with that just a little bit further, but it's important to understand how man's unholiness is exposed in this. Again, it's a lack of love for God and for our fellow man, because stealing violates God's holiness. Taking something that has not been given or earned by us is theft. Theft. And we need to be aware that someone is deprived or hurt by our unjust gain, especially who? Ourselves. The Bible says that we never prosper by ill-gotten gain. I'd like us to go to Proverbs 10:2-5. Briefly, Proverbs 10:2-5. Proverbs is a book of wisdom, has 31 chapters. There's good wisdom there to read a chapter a day. Proverbs 10:2-5 says the following, treasures of wickedness profit, but righteousness delivereth from, by the way, sometimes when people steal stuff and you get caught, people shoot you or take you out. Verse 3, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. And verse 4, how far was I going? Through 5. He becometh poor that dealeth with, that's another one of the four-letter words I like to talk about. It's the word lazy. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, laziness. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. God wants honest things. And he is faithful to us. We don't need to steal. It's a violation against God's holiness, but also it's a thing that's hurtful in the horizontal picture as well. There will be all kinds of legislation throughout all time that will deal with some of these commandments. This is one that will never be changed. Because I don't care who it is, you're never going to take out stealing. You can have all kinds of other things you'll maybe try to remove from the law. You'll never get it done. but no one likes to be stolen from. Amen? So there it is. So we struggle to a degree with this. We've talked about it before. We face it all the time. Here's the example that I was thinking as I prepared this message. You find a wallet laying on the street. You could use a couple of $100 to help with the utility bills. There's even a name in the wallet. What goes through your head? All right, I'll use myself as the example. Don't tell me it doesn't. You think, how could that couple of $100 make a difference? And I'll get rid of the wallet, they'll never know. But who knows? And you know. But you get the point. It's within our hearts. Because the thought, probably if everyone, I know that we got some holier than thous in here, but I'm telling you, you think about those things, don't we? Someone let me know who's holier than thou today. I'll be sure to point you out. Would you loosen up a little bit? Alicia, I'm not seeing much smiles on your face today. You know what? Isn't this good stuff, though, really? Yep. Now, we're up to what? Number five, and we still have 7 minutes left, or thereabouts. Exodus 20:16. Let's read that and read it right. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. When you tell untruths, it's a lie. And that ain't no lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Truth also is a component of God's holiness. The Bible says God cannot tell a lie. He is perfectly righteous and just. He is holy. He is going to always tell you the truth. That's why this book, John 17:7, thy word is truth. Jesus says, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, God's holiness, a component of that is truth. He hates lies. Go back to Proverbs again. We should have kept our hands in there. Proverbs 6:16-19. Proverbs 6:16-19. Proverbs 6:16-19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among the believers, the brethren. Stirs up trouble. God hates that stuff. The fact of the matter is, though, is that God is objective truth, and the Bible is objective truth. Now, folks, let's come clean on this. You don't have to say anything, but I know you're all guilty, just like I am. What's the first thing you think when you get caught in a jam about something? It's that old saying, they thought up a lie and they thought it up quick. It's in us, isn't it? We'll find a way around it. But God says what? My holiness demands holiness, and you fall short of it. And therefore you need Jesus. Because folks, there ain't a one of us in here, and yes, I do know how to speak proper grammar, that ain't told a lie. Even a little white one is still a lie. Again, it demonstrates in our unholiness a lack of what? Of love for God and one another. By the way, who is the catalyst for us to lie? Satan. Because he's the what? He's the father of lies. And know this, my friends, and I'm sorry, Lord, but lies always hurt God, and most of the time they hurt ourselves, and they hurt... You got it. And lies damage our credibility. What's that old saying? Help me with this. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, I believe it's you, Doug. Yeah. But I stand corrected. I've been accused recently by several people, including my wife, Marlon, of not what? Or hearing. I believe it's the hearing. But Grandma Robinson, remember some of her sayings? If you get too thick, you'll get thin. You can think about that today. But here's the other one. If you tell one lie, you'll have to tell 12 more to cover it. And let me warn all of us that are getting along in years, my memory's not too good anymore. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know if I could remember all 12 of the lie that I told. But isn't that the pathetic state of our humanity?
Yes.
Praise God for His benevolence and His goodness. Hey, we're coming up on the last one, number 6 of the horizontals. How about an amen?
Amen.
Kay and Patsy, I do have a request. I still have a little bit of my old Reformed Wesleyan. I would like to hear an amen after a good hymn sometime. Maybe we'll even do it today, but we'll see. Probably not. Exodus 20:17, and we're ready for dinner. Says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. What's it mean to covet? Again, it's something that you want that you don't have and that would make us feel good. But again, God's holiness tells us this when He says don't covet. He gives us all things we need, and we ought to be satisfied with what He gives us. Three references quick. Philippians 4:19. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians 4:19. One more page. Philippians 4:19. I quoted it already. But my God might supply, shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ. Do you think God has a financial problem? You think God's got a lot of debt? By the way, we're the ones with the debt. We're the ones that owe Him. But He says, it's okay, because I love you. I'm still waiting for someone to come along and when I've had a bank loan and say, and my banker was here, or my former banker, you could have shook him down for a lot of things about me. I haven't seen that happen yet where someone's, oh, it's okay, John, no problem, I got you covered. Although many people have been very nice to me, praise God. But God's not in any financial trouble. He'll take care of everything that He's obligated to take care of. He'll supply all of our needs through His riches and glory. 2 Peter 1:3. We got to wear the Bibles out because I've got stock in Bible publishers. No, I'm just kidding. We need to wear them out because there's good stuff in here. 2 Peter 1:3. Again, this assures us that God in His holiness will take good care of us. 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. God will take care of you, folks. You may not be driving the fanciest vehicles. You may not live in the most fancy home. But you know what? Thank God for what He's given you today. I like all my old stuff He's given me. Some of you think, you are crazy, John. I know Craig's back there saying, John, you're far. Can I share with what you coveted here recently, Craig?
I can tell you, I haven't been to Bolton in a while.
That's not a bad thing.
And you say you're not
bringing
any more stuff home. I'm not so sure about that.
Oh, it's the boys. It's the boys. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm not supposed to tell a lie. That's... Craig has said he has a desire to have the old outhouse from the Moscow church. And so I said, it's yours. I love you, Craig. We've had a lot of fun, haven't we? It's portable, and we'll get it loaded. Yep, absolutely. Well, some of you, Marlon knows this too. I overhauled our outhouse at the farm because I really do want to maintain the old farmstead. It's an 1890s vintage farmstead, and we overhauled it, didn't we, Marlon? And it is usable today, and even has a fresh roll of tissue in it. So, Oh, no. We moved up in our class. 1 Timothy 6, 8 through 10. Is anyone bored or angry? 1 Timothy 6, 8 through 10. Oh, my. By the way, I think some of you know my favorite food, and Kim absolutely detests it. Chef Boyardee pizza. Yep. When she makes a double pan of it, and so I can eat it for 2 or 3 days. Here it is. And having food and raiment. Food, we all know what that is. What's raiment? Clothing. Having food and raiment, let us therewith complain. Be content. That's the minimal thing, folks, that God says we ought to be concerned about. But you tell me, most of us have more than one pair of pants or one dress or whatever you wear, right? And even if you only have one, that's good in God's eyes, okay? He says, be content. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be content. But they that will be rich, verse 9, fall into temptation and a trap, a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. No, that's not what it says. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. You trace it back. Money is a big deal. I shouldn't point at people because I got 4 pointing back. It's a problem. Now the holiness, man's holiness. Cravings for different than we have. That's what covetousness is. Usually more than we may need or be able to afford. Shows that we don't love God or each other enough to abide by faith and let God provide. Coveting hurts us and our attitudes against others and may result in harming them physically and ourselves for sure. What was the illustration we started with today? Cain and Abel. Abel got the blessings from God. Cain didn't like it. He was jealous. And look what happened. Yep. It could cause us even to harm people physically and ourselves for sure. But God's holiness and promise cause us to think about these things as we contemplate acting on them and cause us hopefully to run to the Lord for help. And Jesus is our refuge in all these things, folks. So now you've heard it, the vertical, the horizontal. And the bottom line, I'm not even going to preach my conclusion today, is what? Tell it to me. We need Jesus. We need to have His righteousness imputed to us because He fulfilled the law, not for Himself, but in our place. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Know this today. He still is in operation, and He has open arms today. If you've struggled with these things, and maybe you said, I think I can work my way to heaven. Folks, forget it. Jesus is the one that worked our way to heaven for us. I want you to know Him today because He wants you to know Him today. And it's that simple. It's not religion. It's a personal walk. It's a walk across the bridge with Jesus. He's the one that makes the way that we can be brought into a personal relationship with God the Father and never again held accountable in eternity for our sin in the sense that we will be punished for it, my friends. Thanks be to God that does give us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're able today, take your hymnals and stand. 185. Hymn number 185. Again today, You can do things you need to do with Jesus. If you need Him today, go to Him. He'll come. He's there for you. Be saved today. Be rescued. That's what that means. Be delivered, because now we know, again, we can't keep anything of ourselves that causes us to be worthy of heaven. Only what Jesus has done. And maybe, like me, you're struggling with some of the verticals and some of the... I told you, if I saw a wallet on the street, it would go through my mind. Well, wouldn't it? But you know what, Jesus? I'm laying that at your feet. Help me to follow you. Help me to use these presentations of your holiness to remind me again of my need and my dependence on your holiness alone. Today's a day to move out for the Lord Jesus as your lad. Here we go. I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength in thee is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thy all in all. Jesus paid it all to men I owe. Need any kind of encouragement, please let me know. But just let us always be reminded Jesus is there 24/7, and he's willing to listen, and he's going to love you, and he wants to walk with you today. I hope you have a great day this afternoon. May it be a blessed day in the Lord. Doug, would you close, please?
For us to have, help us to lift others up to you and point them toward you, Lord. Use that faith that we have, you've given us, to enable us to be the light that you